Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Next, we will go on to tab 13, Christopher Young, who's a new appointee to the University of West Florida.
My name is Chris Young, and I'm from Panama City, Florida. And I'm originally from a little small town just north of Bluntstown called Alpha. And I'm a lifelong resident of Florida. I'm a proud son of a mother who taught at Grand Ridge Elementary School and a father who worked at a furniture factory before becoming disabled. I graduated valedictorian at Grand Ridge in 1995 and obtained my AA from Chipola Junior College in 1997. Because I was not financially able to move off to school after my associate's degree, I worked at a local law firm in Marianna and went to night school down at Panama City campus of FSU. From Marianna to Panama City, it's an hour and a half just one way, and I made that trip at least three times a week. It felt like 10 times a week when you're making that drive. But I did that and I got my bachelor's degree, and then I moved on to Louisiana State University Law School and graduated from there in 2003.
So watching the hearing yesterday in the first of two committee meetings in the Florida Senate over the appointees by Governor DeSantis to the UWF Board of Trustees, you're familiar with this story. We've covered it a lot. But yesterday was a potentially big day when you would have three of the actual by DeSantis members who were going to go through the process. Previously, just to recap for those who are new, or if you just don't remember, either way, you had the three appointees by the Board of Governors had already gone through this process and they had been approved. And then you had Adam Kissel, one of the, I would say, slightly more controversial. Other people would say definitely controversial. I like him. I think he's capable. So, you know, I don't mind him being on the board. You know, he actually got not recommended by the first committee. He was the only one so far to get not recommended. It's got to go to a second committee, the Ethics and Elections Committee. That's Don Gates's committee. And nobody has gone through that process yet. And so after that, then the whole Senate votes on confirming these people who are already serving on the board, because that's how this works in the topsy-turvy world. In the state of Florida, you get to serve as a trustee, even the chairman of the board, before you're even heard in confirmation process, which in some ways makes sense based on timing because, you know, the Senate is not in session, but for 2 months out of the year, you know, it could be. But, you know, we've been years with inadequate representation on this board, as many others. It's actually one of the consistent flaws in the DeSantis administration is that they just can't seem to get appointments and reappointments and vacancies filled in a timely manner, whether it's the ECUA or the Escambia Board of County Commissioners, or you pick it, like in this case, the Board of Trustees. So, okay, so yesterday you've got the, you know, hearing over these three, Chris Young, Gates Garcia, and the third guy, all of a sudden his name is Paul Bailey. And they're all people that are, two of them, Gates Garcia and Chris Young, are semi-Florida people. I mean, or they're parts of Florida that are not here, but they're not really from here. Meanwhile, you got Paul Bailey, who actually teaches at PCC. He's a, you know, he graduated from Pensacola Christian College. He's an adjunct professor of, I think, criminal justice at PCC. And, you know, he is one of the three. He's at least, you know, tied to Pensacola. Although, as I've said before, I think it's weird that a guy who'd be an adjunct professor at a specifically religious Christian institution, and don't get me wrong, I love PCC, I think they're a great school, but I think it's weird that a guy who is an adjunct professor at a Christian school would be tasked with serving on the board of trustees of a public university in the same market. And somebody pointed out to me yesterday, Andrew, I don't think it's fair to call them competitors. The kind of student who goes to PCC and the kind of student who goes to UWF are not really overlapping Venn diagrams. Well, okay, that's fair. But it's still weird. I mean, just like it'd be weird to have somebody who's an adjunct professor of political science or something at UWF be on the board of trustees at PCC. I mean, that would be weird, right? I mean, so just anyway. But the other ones, you know, Chris Young, he's given his bio. And the reason I wanted to let you hear from him about his bio is I think, A, these applicants have all learned from the prior hearings, oh man, I got to make me sound like a Floridian. You know, the more I can sound like I'm from here, the better I'll do, which is not totally wrong. But also, these people are accomplished people. They're capable people. The questions about their fitness to be on this board are not particularly about whether they're decent people, nice people, smart people. It's a couple of basic things. Do they have enough experience in the realm of higher education to satisfy a reasonable expectation that a member of the Board of Trustees for a flourishing university isn't going to, you know, screw it up or is going to actually bring something to the table? So when Judy Bentz, the former president of UWF, shows up and makes her, I mean, she had made some other comments previously. This was the main comment that she made yesterday.
I want to speak in general to the three trustees today. What troubles us is that they don't have higher education experience. We have benefited from trustees who have worked their way up on committees on campus, in the community, working with students and understanding the community. They're on the foundation board, they're on different committees, they're on the athletic committee. They know about UWF, and these three trustees just haven't had a chance to do that. And we think that that is something that is missing in all of them.
Yeah, and that's, I think, a fair criticism for all of them, is that they don't have enough of that stuff. And I've said before, I think that, you know, you might, like, take me, okay? You might consider me for being on the Board of Trustees for UWF. I mean, I've only ever been an adjunct professor of philosophy. I don't have a PhD. I haven't served as a full-time professor. I think I'm marginally qualified, you know, maybe, maybe not, but I'm not an obvious slam dunk gold star guy. And I think I'm more qualified than all of them, you know? So putting aside what their beliefs about policy might be or their implication and connection with, Scott Yenner, who has now resigned his seat as the chairman, the most controversial of them all, not because he's not qualified. I think he is in the sort of, you know, what's on your CV, but of course, because of his positions, his policy views, that's what got him in trouble. And, you know, rightly so, among other things. Anyway, so Chris Young gets up there, and Carlos Guillermo Smith is a very liberal Democrat, and he asks the question that a lot of people had, which is, okay, you want to build a law school at UWF, you want to build a med school at UWF, which he does, both, okay, and you believe in it being a strong military school, which he does, and he seems like a very nice guy, it's Chris Young, but he says, why did you vote for Scott Yenner?
Oh, I know you're a trustee member now. My understanding is that you voted to make Scott Yenner the chair of the board and that you actually made comments in favor of his candidacy. Is that correct? And could you explain why?
Yes.
You're recognized.
Sorry.
Through the chair.
Sorry. Senator Smith, I did vote for him.
So
in hindsight, if I had known about the context of the comments that were made, I would stand before you and tell you that that was a bad decision. I would not have voted for him.
And that's good. That's a start. But, well, I'll let him keep going, because what he said was actually kind of interesting.
The things that have come out about the comments that he's made are not what I stand for. They're not what I believe in. If that was the case, my mama would never have had a job. You know, I own a trucking company, and my general manager of my trucking company is a female. My audit compliance officer, which in the trucking world is very intense, she's a female. I gladly hired both of them and had no qualms about it.
And he says, you know, look, I would have voted differently if I'd have known what we now know about Scott Yenner. I didn't know it. I don't vouch for him.
But yeah. And so I'm not sure the comment of speaking for him other than to make an emotion or some sort. I don't vouch for him, but I would be clear if I'd known the statements that he had made, my decision would have been drastically different.
And the senators reacted to that.
And I just wanted to say simply that your candor is appreciated by the committee.
Jennifer Bradley said that. Carlos Guillermo Smith said that. Several people said that. And that's true. But... And then they asked, Gates Garcia, why did you vote for Scott Yenner? And he said, I didn't know what he had said. And, I would have, you know, maybe changed. But he actually defended him more in the sense that he had researched Scott Yenner and knew his educational background and his policy views on other things. And then Paul Bailey was, who's the PCC adjunct teacher, he's the one who said, you know, I wouldn't have voted for him. I didn't know. So it was, you know, I never heard no Contras. I don't know anything about Noriega. I don't know anything about any transfer of, you know, drugs or weapons or nothing like that. Don't blame me. I didn't know. It's been kind of the, and it may be true for all of them. I'm not implying that they're lying. But that's the wrong question, in my opinion. The real issue for these folks, if you're going to go down the you supported Scott Yenner and Scott Yenner is unacceptable, if you're going to go down that path, the senators are asking the wrong question. The right question is twofold. First, if you didn't know Scott Yenner, why did you vote for him not knowing anything? Why did you vote for him? Because remember, the new people voted for him unanimously, and then the existing people voted for, I think it was Dick Baker, they voted for him. He was the alternative. He's a very accomplished, you know, standing member of the Board of Trustees. And people said, I'd like to have somebody with some experience instead of the new person. So the right question to ask is, why did you vote for Scott Yenner? I mean, if you didn't know his controversial statements, okay, what did you know about him? And why did you all vote for him? It's question number one, right? Question, because a new person shouldn't be the chairman. And what is it about him that stood out to you, especially when the question of having an existing experienced chairman had already been proposed in that meeting? And a second question, okay, so you didn't vote for him, because you, or you voted for him, but you didn't know. But you learned about these problems subsequently. This was not a mystery by the February or the March meeting. It was widely known and reported. And if these things were disqualifying for him, why didn't any of you speak up? Why didn't you raise it in the Board of Trustees meeting? Hey, I have a concern about the chair. The community is very upset about this. It's a big deal to a lot of people. I think we ought to talk about selecting a different chair. Like, you know, the degree of regret for having made a decision in ignorance originally, the real sincerity about that degree of regret would be shown in coming back at the next meeting or two and standing up and saying, hey, folks, have you been paying attention to what people are saying about us? We need to do something about this. It's not okay to just sit here. Right? I mean, that would be, maybe you say that in ethics, we call it supererogatory behavior. That's going above and beyond the call of duty. Okay? Maybe you say that's too much to expect of somebody. I don't know. I don't think it's too much to expect. I think it'd be brave. I would applaud them. But I would applaud them because it's sort of the definite right thing to do. And they didn't. So I have been pretty cautious to judge people for their, you know, it's kind of a, you know, what did you know about Scott Yenner and when did you know it? And were you, have you now or have you ever been a member of the Scott Yenner party? You know, like that's kind of the way these questions are going. But I'll be honest, the more I think about it, the choice to put an inexperienced, out-of-state person who you don't really know up on this board in the first place, and now you regret it that you've learned some of the things that he's said. Like, it doesn't quite add up to me enough. And so I am starting a little bit more to lean to the, maybe none of these folks should be on this board. But at least ask this question. Ask the question, you know, okay, well, you voted for him. Why? You could ask, you know, hey, did the governor tell you all to vote for him? That's what everybody assumes. Is it before they were under sunshine, or even if they weren't, they could, the governor could still talk to him. I'm put you on this board. You need to put Scott Yenner in charge. You know, they could ask that. So I think it's going to be more interesting to come out of the Ethics and Election Committee when they go there. They all got past 6-1. Carlos Gutierrez or Guillermo Smith said, I can't vote for any of them because of some of their policies and their association with, you know, Scott Yenner in terms of having voted for him. Again, I want to say this really clearly. I think all of these people seem fairly capable. I don't think any of them, of these three, seem super qualified to be on UWF. And I would rather have people who are much more familiar with UWF, much more invested in this community, much more connected to this community, instead of people that are from, you know, Panama City is one, or from Tampa is another, you know, from places kind of all over the state. Like, why are you here instead of USF? Like, that actually came up. Why did you go to UWF instead of University of South Florida as being a trustee? And the answer was, well, I go where the governor tells me. Yeah, but wouldn't you ask the governor? You know, that's 6 hours away. Like, that's or 8 hours or whatever Tampa is. You know, that's kind of odd for me. So also, and I do like Gail Harrell. She's the chair of this committee, and she's told before, and she told them again yesterday, we're going to put you on there, but we're watching. Now, I don't know what remedy they've got, but it's a good reminder that, hey, you know, we're not just doing this, and we're certainly not just rubber stamping this. So, yes, they got approved. That's step one. Step two is going to be ethics and elections, and then step three is going to be the full Senate. And we'll keep watching this because I want better questions to be asked in the Senate committee, the next one when they get in there. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to, you know, get good information about how to execute that decision. But I would also ask, you know, and maybe recommend, talk to an expert before you make the decision. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, experts, like they sell 175, 165 homes every year. Before that, it was, you know, before the last couple of years, it was like 200 plus homes when the market was easier. And they are experts. They can help you figure it out. Is the rental market profitable? Is the second home something you can really afford? Or do you have the right amount of, say, down payment? Or, you know, what are interest rates doing? Or what is the price of housing doing with the tariffs? I mean, all that stuff. Good questions. Ask her. Don't ask me. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Johns Hopkins University has found that just mild hearing loss doubles your risk of dementia. So hearing loss isn't something to ignore.
But hearing aids are so expensive and ugly.
Not anymore. Meet Audion Hearing. You can get nearly invisible hearing aids without a prescription starting at $98 a pair. And they're ready to use right out of the box. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health. And with over 1 million customers, Audion is easy to trust. Visit AudionHearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N Hearing.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Are you threatening me?
Thought I wouldn't grow without you, now I'm wiser. Thought that I'd be helpless without you, but I'm smarter. You thought that I'd be stressed without you, but I'm chilling. You thought I wouldn't sell without you, sold 9 million. I'm a survivor, I'm not gonna give up, I'm not gonna stop.
Good morning, 529 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Hi. David. By the way, excuse me. David Wayne, our new news director, is in the newsroom with our headlines. Congratulations, David.
I'm high of $6.
Oh, all right. He's working on something else, which is fine. There's no worries. 437-1620. Couple of texts we got in here. Somebody says, you know, yesterday's answers to these questions do not address what appears to be external puppeteering of the board. Agreed. And the subsequent invertebrate behavior, spineless, of the prospective trustees. That's stronger than I was saying, but yeah, that's the same thing. A leader's moral compass can't be a weather vane. Somebody else said, look, Trump, you know, didn't have experience. We put him in. We did outsiders who were smart. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but Trump was an American, and we knew him, and he was vetted. This would be like putting an unknown Venezuelan in the White House.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The trade war with China is ratcheting up. The communist nation fighting back against President Trump's tariffs.
125% tariff on U.S. imports. This is up from the 84% it announced on Wednesday and now matches the 125% additional reciprocal tariffs the U.S. imposed on China this week. The 20% fentanyl tariffs remain in effect, bringing the total additional tariffs on China to 145%.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, Russian-American ballerina Ksenia Karolina arrives in Washington late Tuesday. Cheers for the young woman released in that prisoner swap. She was sentenced to a dozen years in a Russian prison for a small donation to Ukrainian charity. Routine physical today for President Trump at Walter Reed Hospital in Maryland. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3 at 78 degrees, right? No, it's not. It's 62 degrees. I'm sorry. I need to hit the refresh button. 62 degrees right now in Pensacola. Tomorrow is one of the biggest events of the year for the Escambia Sheriff's Foundation.
Our third annual Cars, Cops, and Crawfish is the Sheriff's Foundation. It's their largest fundraiser, and if you recall there, they fund the Blazer Academy, both the men's and the ladies' Blazer Academy.
Movie nights.
They fund movie nights. They fund Dream Big program, and then they also obviously support the men and women of the Sheriff's Office.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons there. Now, the event's being held at Five Flags Speedway. Car show registration begins at 7:30 tomorrow morning. The first crawfish plates will be served starting at about 11. There's also burgers and hot dogs available for purchase, balloon animals for the kids, face painting, a 50-50 raffle, and the car show awards will be presented starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Well, a vehicle crashed into a tree outside of the Paparazzi Lounge in downtown Pensacola last night. Fire crews were called to that scene. There is no word on whether there were any injuries as of yet. More people seeking jobless benefits in Florida. The Labor Department reporting about 6,500 initial unemployment claims were filed in Florida during the week that ended April 5th. That's an increase of about 900 claims from the week before. Nationally, the number of Americans requesting jobless benefits rose by 4,000 to 223,000. Well, if you cross the General Chappie James Bridge into Pensacola before the sun comes up, make sure to take a look at that new welcome sign off to your left. It was lit up for the first time this week. Local artist Brianna Spence created the design as part of a contest run by the city.
It's kind of surreal seeing it go from my computer screen, where I'm used to seeing most of my work, to something this large come to life. But I'm just really thankful for the city of Pensacola. I know when DC came up with this concept, I'm sure there was a lot of, like, this could go one way or another, but it really, I think, represents Pensacola in such a great way. We have such an artistic community, and just being able to work on something for my town that I'm so proud of, and this town is such a special place, I know, to all of us.
And Spence was at that ceremony here on Wednesday. The sign itself is in a median between Bayfront and Gregory, just east of the South Market there. Mayor D.C. Reeves led a countdown before the lights were flipped on at that event. Now, bad news in Bruton, the largest employer in the community, shutting their doors. Greed Manufacturing says they're halting operations at their Bruton factory, laying off over 200 workers.
Any business that closes, that's not something you want to see happen. The larger the business, the more impact you have on people, the more impact you have for cities.
And that is Yank Lovelace, the mayor in Bruton. And he says the good news is those workers are not unskilled and they shouldn't have any difficulty finding new employment. It is 5:34. 4 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
It's going to be a lovely day today with temperatures starting off in the 50s, warming into the upper 70s as you head into your afternoon. Plenty of sunshine throughout the day. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 51. Going into your weekend, beautiful sunny weather will continue with a high near 71 degrees on Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, it's 62 degrees, clear skies in Pensacola. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. China has retaliated today against President Trump's reciprocal tariffs by raising its levies on U.S. goods to 125% from 84%. The new duties go into effect tomorrow. Meanwhile, U.S. stocks plummeted yesterday as Trump's trade war continues. The S&P 500 fell 3.5%, the Dow dropped 2.5%, and the NASDAQ composite sank 4.3%. Apple is heavily reliant on China, which has seen its tariff rates continue to ramp up to a cumulative 145%. While the company has been working to diversify its supply chains, analysts say it's left without any clear short-term options to quickly reduce tariff impacts. JPMorgan Chase reports first quarter earnings before the bell today. LSEG reports Wall Street expects revenue of just over $44 billion. JPM executives will host a conference call at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 10.14. The NASDAQ down 7.37. That's Your Money Now.
Dad! Come on! Over here! Look at this, Dad! Over! Whoa!
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing!
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, biking, fishing, or camping. Or do your own thing when you get there with family and friends. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Hall's Hardware in Milton on News Radio 92.3.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
So last night, as you've heard me say all morning, I was at the unveiling, lighting up of the new Pelican welcome sign at the north end of the 3 Mile Bridge, right there in front of South Market in that little triangular space where we used to have the Five Flags display. One of the things that I noticed, it happened three different times. as somebody was coming off of the bridge, making that west turn and going down onto Gregory Street. They, you know, they flared the engine, flared the mufflers, revved the engine, whatever you want to say it, real loud, right? And I looked and we saw what car it was and we're like, well, that figures. every single time. But it made me think, I think one was a motorcycle, two were trucks. And actually one was, what do they call that in the where the back end is down? The Carolina Squat? Somebody had Carolina Squatted an Escalade. And the look on your face was the look on my face. Anyway, but the question I had was, I don't know whether that's illegal or not. I think it probably is. We have a sign, or we have a noise ordinance in Pensacola. So I figured I'd ask my good friend, Mike Wood, is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He's on the line. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you helped me. You heard it. If you were patrolling and somebody flared their muffler, whatever, I don't even want you, you probably have a good term because you're a racing enthusiast, you would know the term. If somebody revs their engine real loud, it makes the muffler crackle. Legal, illegal, what's the rule?
Well, most of the time when people do that, they've altered the muffler, which is illegal. So you're not going to have a brand new Buick straight from the factory coming out and somebody revving that engine and it's going to bother anybody.
Okay.
That, somebody has altered that muffler, which in itself is illegal. So people do those type of things to get attention. The problem is when it gets the attention of the police, they're suddenly very sorry that they did it, that they wanted that attention because they didn't want it from us, but they wanted it from somebody else. So absolutely, to answer your question, if somebody does that, they can be stopped and cited for it.
Okay, which is interesting. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure, so I appreciate that. And also for people who may not know, and you always correct me if I'm wrong, I know you would, honking your horn for not a safety-related alerting another driver, stopping an accident kind of reason is also illegal use, right?
Yes, it is. You have to be warning somebody of a potential hazardous situation.
All right. So I just, you know, again, things people may not realize, but we're always trying to educate the public on what the law is because, you know, you're the cops. You enforce it. You've had a couple of incidents. I want to talk briefly about this. The Humane Society showed that video that we've all seen of the porch pirates coming in and taking some donations. Have we made any progress on this? What do we know?
Still working on it, trying to identify these two young ladies. It's, I don't know why somebody would go to the Humane Society to remove a donation unless somebody put it there and someone else came home and said, wait a minute, that stuff belonged to me. I want it back. I'm going to go get it. I don't know. We're still looking into that. The video's pretty good. And we're hoping that sooner or later we find out who those two ladies are and find out what exactly was going on with that.
I do know there's been like a lot of changes in the law, and you know, we all get frustrated about the porch pirates. I just want to—I heard a rumor. I want to make sure it's not true. You cannot yet legally deport people from the country for being porch pirates, though, right? I mean, I wish we could, but that's still not yet legal, right?
Not yet. It may be on the list, but okay. But not
right,
yet.
Because I think we all recognize the value that would have. God, oh. People that, like, sometimes it's the small infractions that really are, in the grand scheme of things, small, but they're so contrary to having a civilization that there's, you know, you wish you could do more. You had a video, you came out yesterday at the press conference with Mayor D.C. Reeves talking about this, of I think it's a couple of teenagers who were battering a homeless man, is that right?
Well, there was a group there. It happened at the 17th Avenue Trestle Friday night around midnight. But there were two males that were aggressive towards this homeless person. He was raising his voice, but he did not use his hands or threaten or anything like that on the video. No show of weapons. But it was clearly a bullying on this transient. So eventually, one of them threw a liquid in the individual's face, and then the other one, with a closed fist, hit him in the face and knocked him unconscious immediately. He then fell down right at the railroad tracks, and that's where the video ends. They left him there. So we don't know if he was moved from the tracks. Obviously, if a train had come through, it would have been catastrophic. To see this video is shocking, and it's very disappointing. So I announced this morning that we have made two arrests of juveniles in that case on battery charges.
Okay. Wow. And obviously, had a train come, you know, it would have been much worse charges and, of course, a much worse outcome for that. He was on the tracks?
They were. The incident happened right at the tracks, and then when he was knocked unconscious, his body fell right at the tracks. His head was just a few inches from one of the rails.
Oh, my God. Wow. Thank goodness he's, you know, that didn't happen. So, wow, that's just horrible. I mentioned this only because it had come up in a news story earlier, and it's another one of those I want to make sure that people understand. There had been a conversation in the news about stand your ground laws and self-defense and castle doctrine, not based on something that's happening maybe in Texas. But I was doing a little bit of reading on this and research, and it reminded me of an element of the stand your ground law that people should probably know, which is you are allowed to defend yourself against an imminent threat to your life or them. You are not obligated to retreat. That's what Stand Your Ground says in Florida. But if you start the encounter, like if you initiate the fracas, you don't have Stand Your Ground justification anymore. You don't have self-defense justification more, right?
No, you started it. So if you start an argument with someone and then they produce a weapon, and then you produce a weapon, that's something else. But if you come out with a weapon right off the bat or start this, then that changes everything. Stand Your Ground is made to protect you, so you can protect yourself, protect your family and those around you. But starting it yourself, instigating the incident could change things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the old rule, as I've always heard it explained, is you can never use lethal force against words only. But, you know, you go to punch a guy and he draws a knife and then you draw your gun. I mean, that's on you. You punch the guy, you know, right? So people don't realize. And that's, you know, just, wow. I don't go punching people is also a good rule, but also understand what the law says. You know, what we've got, we continue to have red light runners, loads and loads and loads of red light runners. One of the questions I had was, do we know how many people are getting these red light tickets who are locals and how many people are from, say, out of the area, or visitors, whatever, tourists?
I don't think we're tracking it like that, but I believe that's something that could be easily done. That's a great question, because if you have most of these people from without a state tags that are not from here, I don't know how much these numbers are going to go down. But if they're mostly local, then I can see those numbers going down over time. Dramatically. I mean, everybody around here knows you don't speed through Gulf Breeze, Florida.
Yeah.
Because it's been that way for years. So that's a great question. That's something I'll have to look into.
I would suspect that it's kind of like the Gulf Breeze effect is where I think this is headed, which, you know, visitors don't necessarily know, and so they get in trouble, but it definitely affects how locals drive. And, you know, we put a lot of local road miles on these intersections. And so even if it doesn't solve for all, it solved for some. At least we would hope so. That's kind of the goal there. There's one other thing I was going to ask. Oh, this is the easiest question I'm going to ask you, Mike. You ready?
I don't think it's going to be since you put it like that.
It's always. What do you think of the new Pelican sign? You are very involved in the construction of the, I mean, you were always on patrol kind of, you know, or extra duty for the bridge and the lights and all of that. What do you think of the new Pelican sign?
I think it looks fantastic. I think it's great. It's great for the city. It's a great, I mean, as soon as you come into Pensacola looking at that sign, it's very nice. And I saw a comment on Facebook this morning that said, well, the city is very good at lighting up that sign, but they won't do anything about the bridge lights. And I want to make it perfectly clear that Pelican sign lights are controlled by the city. The lights on the bridge are not. That's the state of Florida, the Department of Transportation, the city of Pensacola has no control over that particular light switch.
Well, we could have had control over that bridge if we had been in the interest of putting out $400 million to build it.
But we're not in the bridge building.
So we're not in that business. But that's a great point. Yeah, the complaints about the bridge lights go to FDOT, not to the city of Pensacola. I very much appreciate that. See, that was an easy question. Good answer, by the way. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yes, we've talked about this before, but it's still happening. It probably always will, and that's using the law enforcement officers to discipline your children. No law enforcement officer likes to hear this. You know, he's going to get you. You better behave or the officer will arrest you. If you don't stop, I'll tell the officer to put you in handcuffs. Things like that make us cringe. We want your child to not be afraid of us. If they get lost at a Mardi Gras parade, a Christmas parade, or just someplace else in town, we want them to feel comfortable coming up to us and asking for help. Now, there's one that you can do that we don't mind you saying at all, and that is car seats. If you don't sit in that car seat and let me buckle you up, then mommy or daddy can get a ticket. That is absolutely true, and that one we don't mind. But the rest of them, don't teach your kids to grow up being afraid of us.
No, very good. And, of course, when it comes to car seats, it's very easy to do that wrong if you don't know how to do it. Once you learn how to do it right, it's very easy to do, but most people do it wrong and don't even realize they're doing it wrong. Oh, I actually had texts come in. I want to ask you real quick before we let you go. One text came in because it was actually a video I posted on Facebook. I ran into a car over in Fort Walton Beach. It was decked out like a Captain America logos and paint all over it, and it had red and blue lights around the car. Now, it was parked at a gas station with those lights on. My understanding, I didn't think of it at the time, it's not a law enforcement car, it's just some private individual. It's not only illegal to have the lights on while you're driving, it's illegal to have the lights, isn't it?
Yes, you can't have red lights in Florida except to the rear of the vehicle. You can't have blue lights anywhere on the vehicle.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when I realized that after the fact. So, I mean, it's not your business, it's Fort Walton Beach, but still kind of unfortunate because it's a gorgeous car.
Yeah.
Somebody else says, wanted to say, my Hellcat comes stock with an exhaust I can flare. but the other question, Carolina Squad is illegal in some places. Is it legal or illegal to have the car with the lowered back, risen front? Because it actually is a safety hazard. You can't see the road properly. I mean, there's all kinds of issues there, but is it legal to have that in Florida?
It depends on how high the front bumper is off of the roadway.
Okay.
So yes and no. If you don't exceed that height, and I don't know exactly what it is, but yes, if you exceed that height, then it's obvious safety issue if you were to rear end somebody. Plus, you can't see going forward, which is very helpful to be able to see.
Right.
So it depends on how high that front bumper is off of the ground.
Oh, okay. No, that makes perfect sense. It's kind of like window tint. It's not that you can't have window tint. It's that you can't have it past a certain amount, right? That's so, you know, which is the same kind of thing. It's not that you can't have the car at a weird angle that looks stupid, but you just can't have it at a weird angle that looks stupid beyond a certain amount. So, no, that's a very useful answer. Mike Wood, the Pensacola Police Department Public Information Officer, as always, Mike, thank you for the time. Thanks for indulging my silly questions and the good questions from the audience, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And, oh, by the way, so we did that interview yesterday morning, right? You know, 7:35. Yesterday afternoon, I had gotten a tip from somebody that there was maybe a train incident going on downtown. And at first we thought maybe somebody had been hurt or killed. And, you know, maybe because it was by the skate park that it was a minor. It was a horrifying thing to contemplate. So I gave Mike Wood a call, and I kind of asked him. I said, I'm hearing some things, you know, what's going on? And the story he told me is, thank goodness, not that, but what you have to only describe as one of the most Florida stories I think I have ever heard.
The train was coming through downtown Pensacola. An individual jumped up on that moving train. We were made aware of it and got the train stopped near the skate park. The individual jumped off the train and then got back on it at the front where the locomotive is and attempted to fight the conductor. He then was waved down Pensacola police officers who attempted to stop this individual. He ran from them. They caught up with him and was able to detain him. It was obvious that he had some minor injuries and maybe had a mental event going on.
Seems very likely, but my goodness, the on-again, off-again, slow enough to run and catch up to the train speed chase / double hijacking attempt. Right here, where Florida begins. the fact that somebody's having, you know, mental health issues always makes you kind of feel a little weird about a story. But this is one of those, what in the actual, you know, can you imagine seeing somebody and then that poor conductor or engineer, you know, what he's going through in all of this. So luckily, it looks like only minor injuries, but Wow. And, you know, again, good police work and following up and catching the guy. 554 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're considering that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to start that process. They've got 300 cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, sports cars, you know, sedans, all kinds of daily drivers, all kinds of stuff on the lot. You can look around, have a gander at what you like. But I also kind of recently have been taken with the idea that Frontier Motors is not just the place you go to buy the car you've already decided to buy, or to shop for the car that you've already decided you want and see if they got the right one or for the right price. It's a place you can go and ask advice. You know, go and ask them, what do people like? What do people not like? What features do people appreciate or not appreciate? What cars are taking a lot of extra maintenance these days? Which ones are not? Which ones hold their value? Which ones don't? You know, like, ask them. Because they know. I mean, you've driven your however many, 5, 10, 20 cars in your life, right? They have driven, sold, bought, acquired, repaired, you know, thousands. Use them as experts. Get their advice. They can help you. And also give you advice about things like, hey, what's the market doing when it comes to gently used vehicles? When we've got, you know, the import tariffs on again, off again, we're doing the, you know, the tariff hokey pokey. What does it mean for cars? You can ask them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Hi, I'm Meg, inviting you to tune in Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest. They will be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program, as well as an offer of 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress and cost of healthcare on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
You just said he could eat anything.
You ever eat 50 eggs?
Nobody ever eat 50 eggs.
Somebody asks, you know, when I was talking about the question of whether the tariffs would affect the price of a used car. Yeah. Why, though? Because if the price of an import goes up, people shift their demand to a lesser expensive, which is the used car market. Therefore, demand goes up on used cars and prices. That's exactly, it's not a direct impact of having a tariff, but it is an indirect effect of having a tariff. And so, yeah, definitely can do. Somebody else says, Andrew, for UWF Board of Trustees. If the governor called, I would say yes. But I would probably say, although she would probably not take the job because she would be too busy. But my wife would be the one you want, because she's really been the person who's been directly involved in the boys' education and dealing with the universities and what problems are and what we can fix and all that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The Social Security Administration now clarifying who is going to need to verify their identity in person under new anti-fraud guidelines. They're scaling back a bit on the need for those in-person visits after strong public pushback to their initial version of this policy, which would have required more in-office visits, something that can be difficult for Americans who can't make the trip. And boy, have you seen that that helicopter crash in the Hudson River? Well, dive teams are going to be back in the water today looking to recover pieces of the helicopter. Mangled pieces were pulled to shore yesterday after the crash, but there's still more wreckage in the river. A Siemens executive and his family were in the helicopter when it crashed.
All right. Yeah, no, it's a horrible, horrible story, David. Thank you so much for that. Why would the remake of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe be a celebration moment?
92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
China escalates the trade war. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, matching the new U.S. tariffs this morning by upping the charge on American imports there to 125%. The U.S.